You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
With kids in the metro area, in all kinds of things with outreach. And the one thing I know about Pastor Jane is she is one of the kindest, most generous people I probably know. Because I've messed up scheduling her a couple of times, and she is just so wonderful about, oh, no problem, we'll get to it, and we finally got to it, and so I'm so glad. But she works in the metro area reaching kids and just has such a wonderful heart for kids and doing some really creative things. So I want us to give Jane Michaelkamp, because we love missions at Heights Church, amen? I want to give Jane, want you to give Jane Michaelkamp a Heights Church missionary welcome as she comes today. Jane, if you'd come.
Thank you. God bless you. Wow. Thank you. The worship was fantastic. Today my devotional was on holiness, and the worship just lifts your spirit up, and this church is so loving and caring, and you can tell that you really love Jesus. So thank you. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for inviting me to speak at Heights Church, and I feel very honored to be able to give my testimony today and also to speak about what I'm doing in Invergrove Heights through Kingdom Kids Bible Study. I think of life, and I think of life is a journey. We're all going to go through journeys in our life. Everything that we go through in life is a part of God's plan for our lives. And I love the scripture verse that says Romans 8:28, and it's one of my favorite. God causes all things to work to good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We all have a story that God can use for his glory. And this morning I'm going to share my testimony of God's calling and how it led to Kingdom Kids Bible Study. I was born and I was raised in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and my parents were Catholic. We went to church every Sunday. I had six other siblings. Now, my dad was an alcoholic, and he was very abusive, verbally and physically, to my mom and to the other siblings, and especially, for some reason, he was to my brothers. As I grew up, I felt unloved and fearful. When I was 19, I met somebody, and I had a child with that person. This is my daughter when she was 7 months old. I loved her so much. She was my pride. She was my joy. We did everything together. We would go shopping. I would take her in her stroller for stroller rides. She was my whole world. On September 6th of 1981, my daughter died of sudden infant death, crib death. It's known as crib death. And I'll never forget that day. It was so devastating. But I think of how God's hand was upon my life, even back then. And I remember that night, at 3 a.m, God woke Amy up and me. And I took her in the living room, and I held on to her, and I embraced her, and I rocked her, and I told her how much I loved her, how much I cared about her, and that I was so proud to be her mother, and I don't know what I would do without her. Well, I laid her down at 4 a.m, and then that morning, at 6:45, I woke up, and she was right next to me, always in her crib. And I noticed there was no life in the crib. So I got up and I put the crib down and I proceeded to see what was wrong. She had died in her sleep. It was so hard for me that I moved back home to live with my family. And then for the next 10 years, I became a recluse. I did get a job and I would go to work, but then as soon as I came home from work, I went right to my bedroom. I had my rocker in the bedroom, and I would just sit there think about her. It was like I couldn't be part of myself anymore because I felt like part of me died inside, and I couldn't communicate with the family. I just didn't want to be around anybody because it hurt so bad. After working 8.5 years in a factory, they made French fries, and they used a lot of chemicals in this factory, and that's where I got injured. What the factory did is they would make French fries, and they would have these big pump tanks that were had water in them and flumes, so this would carry the product from one area to the next. Well, they decided to run this chemical called chlorine dioxide. And when the pump tanks would turn green, that meant poisonous, get out of the factory. So they would evacuate the factory, but they made us as cleanup stay in, and we had to spray down the equipment, empty these pump tanks. We weren't given respirators or anything. I worked there 8.5 years. They ran this chemical for 4.5 years. When I would go to work, I would get bad migraines, my nose, my throat, my lungs would burn, and my eyes, I would rub my eyes and my blood vessels would break because they burned so bad. Well, eventually I couldn't work anymore. I went to my doctor, and my doctor ran all these tests, and he found that I have reactive airway disease, which is a chemical asthma, but it's also severe multiple chemical sensitivities. So if you're not familiar with that, it's a person cannot function outside of the world because we live in a toxin world. So I will get sick from perfume, colognes, cleaning products, just even putting gasoline in the car, chlorine bleach. I can't go around swimming pools. I have to run from that because of the chlorine dioxide that I was exposed to in this factory. So it was very hard, not only having my daughter die, but then after that, my whole life changed. I stay home a lot. I can't really go a lot of places without getting sick. And what happened is it burnt my membranes in my nose, my esophagus, my lungs, and my stomach lining. So a normal person can filter out smells, but I can't because of the damage that's been done. And I will get migraine headaches, burning in the nose, the throat, in the lungs, and sometimes I can be sick for 3 to 4 days. So that's why when I do go places, I try to sit farther away from people. But I think of the world that we live in, and there's so many toxins. It's not just perfume, colognes, or anything. It's anything scented or with odors, plastic, all kinds of things. Well, anyway, I decided to go back to school. And I went to a technical college, and I got an office degree. But in my typing class, I noticed there was this lady across the room, and her name was Margaret. And at that time, I had no peace in my life. And I was drawn to this woman. We became friends, and I can remember how Margaret, she was a very strong Christian woman. She was somebody that evangelized wherever she went. She taught me that you don't know if it's that person's last day. You need to tell them about Jesus. So that's kind of the way I live, is you don't know, and you need to tell others about Jesus. But anyway, we became friends, and one day she invited me to a Good Friday service. So I went with her to her church, and this was Assembly of God. I was raised Catholic, and the pastor spoke about the love of God. And that day I felt such an overwhelming presence of God's love upon my life. Well, the next few days, God was working in my heart. I went to my Catholic church, and it was almost like I needed to see that last puzzle piece, because other people had planted seeds in my life when I was growing up. As I looked at the crucifix, Jesus on the cross, I'm talking to Jesus, and I'm saying, Jesus, why did this happen with my family, my dad being so abusive, and then Amy dying? She was my whole life. And Jesus spoke to me, and he said, God spoke to me and said, I sent my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, and I love you, and I was there with you when your daughter died. And that day I asked Jesus into my heart. My life changed forever. I began to go to church. I began to go to Bible studies. I couldn't get enough of reading my Bible and talking about Jesus. In September 6th of 1993, my faith was tested. A tragedy happened in our family. My brother was only 30 years old. He was married, but he was going to be going through a divorce. He was losing his job, and he was going to be losing his home. He committed suicide, but before he did that, he ended up killing his wife and her boyfriend, and then he went and shot himself in the head, and I will never forget that day. How hard it was on my mom. And me too. I remember the day of the funeral, and I sat in the front, and I'm looking at the casket, and I'm looking at my brother. He's only 30 years old, and I'm questioning God, God, why? This doesn't make sense. Why did this have to happen? And then God spoke to me. He said, I want you to reach dysfunctional kids who come from those hurting homes. And then he gave me the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for the plans I know I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. In that day, I made a promise to God, and I said, God, I will go wherever you send me, and I will do whatever you want me to do. I was a children's pastor at Christians in Action Church for a couple of years. And then after Christians in Action Church, I went to Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God, and I was a children's pastor there for 3 years. In 2006, so I think you can the next, that was my friend Margaret when I graduated at, well, so I'm sorry, I followed God's calling to Minnesota in 1994, and I went to North Central, and I graduated in 2001. 2002, I got my license as Assembly of God pastor. And then in 2006, so it would be the townhomes. That's okay, you can leave the picture. 2006, I felt like God was calling me to Inver Grove Heights to move to this place called Rolling Meadows. They have 202 townhomes, and then they have another community which is called Spruce Point, and there's 30 other townhomes. So there's over 600 people that live in Rolling Meadows and Spruce Point. There's many different ethnic groups. There's African American, African. A lot of Egyptian families are now moving to this place too, Caucasian and Hispanic. So almost all of the children and the youth come from very broken homes. Many of the situations that they live in seem hopeless. Many of the boyfriends live with the mom. Some of the mothers have two or three boyfriends. They allow their children to watch TV late at night. They have drugs and drinking addictions. There's one little boy I wanted to just share a little bit about. His name is Donovan, and he comes from a very broken situation. The mother and the father are divorced. The mother lived in the same area in Rolling Meadows, and the father lived with another woman. Well, then they moved away, and the children moved with the father, but they ended up, they had to come back with the mother. The mother works. She's a bartender. So she comes home, and she comes home with other men. She drinks, and she gets drunk a lot. Because some of the children, they have three children, two teenagers, and then little Donovan. The two teenagers aren't following the Lord, and they're doing a lot of bad things that aren't good for a little child of 10 years old to see. And Donovan told me, he said, when they start doing these things, he said, I leave the room, he said, and I read that Bible that you gave me. I get, the children each get a Kids Quest Bible when they come to Bible study. Well, anyway, I was talking to Donovan yesterday, and he's such a good little helper. He'll help me. Yesterday I got some sauces from a friend, and he helped deliver the sauces to the family. Anytime I need help, he'll come and help. And he was telling me, he said, my dad was put in jail, and he's been in jail for a while, but you know what? They made him go to Teen Challenge And now he's going to Teen Challenge. And he was telling me all these things about God. I think they're learning a little bit more than we're learning in Bible study. So I thought, thank God, thank you, Jesus, that your hand is upon these people's lives. And I knew his father, and his father was so happy that Donovan could come to Bible study. A lot of these kids don't go to church, so their church is the Bible study. One of the scripture verses that I want to read with you is one that God gave me, and he gave me this scripture verse for the ministry, and it's found in Isaiah 61. I think I'll read the verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting to the Lord for the display of his splendor. Reaching out to the poor, this scripture verse speaks to me about reaching out to the poor with God's good news, bringing healing and freedom, delivering people from sin, and giving to others, and giving glory all to God. As I was moving in the townhomes, there's our group, and can you tell who's in the picture? One of the Sheila. This was in 2006. The children, I became friends with a lot of the children, and the children kept asking me, can you start teaching a Bible study? So I started the Bible study, and we had about 8 or 10 children attending the Bible study. The boy right next to Sheila, right over here with the white t-shirt, his name is Danny. And his mother just died like 3 years ago. And Danny was a handful. It was very hard with Danny. He could be very challenging, but I kept loving Danny, and I kept speaking God's word into Danny, and I knew God had a calling on his life. After his mother died, he moved to be with her sister in Duluth. And now Danny is serving the Lord. He's a teenager right now. He goes on mission trips to Peru every year, and he said he wants to be a pastor. The Bible study is held every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30. The children love to dress up, and we tell a Bible story, and the children dress up and they act it out. So we all know when we can act it out, we can see it. It helps the children to remember when you're saying it and doing it. It'll help them to remember the Bible story. This is another object lesson. So we were talking about chickens, and don't be a chicken, to tell them about Jesus. And there's Swanee and some of the other kids. Okay, the next one you can. In Bible study, one of the most important aspects of our Bible study is prayer. And at the beginning, I will ask the children, raise your hand if you have a prayer request. And almost all of the children raise their hand. And their prayers are so unselfish. They're either for their teacher, for their parents, for a student at school, or for their brothers and their sisters. And what is so humbling to see is when I say, okay, now we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes, and we're going to pray to Jesus. And almost half of the class will get on the floor, and they will bow their heads, close their eyes, and kneel and pray to Jesus. Puppets. I love to do puppets. That was one of my favorite class at North Central. And this is Stephanie and Shelby. And the children love to do puppets. What I love about this shows what talent the children have. And the children, they love doing the different voices, vocal variety and that. Every week now we've been doing a talent show. And so we have one or two children will come up and they will show us a talent that they're good at. One week we had Melia and she talked about mercy. The next week we had Kermina and Mary from Egypt. They sang a song, Praise God, Praise God. We see a lot of growth and maturity in the children's lives. So I think there was a picture of Sheila. No, that one's the group picture. No, there was just... Okay, that one. No, you can keep this one. So we have seen over the years... I'm sorry, I'm looking at my notes and I'm not reading them. So, so most importantly, we've established consistent relationship that shared and showed God's love to the children. So over these years, this 8 years of teaching this Bible study, we've seen God multiply this group from 8 to 10 to 4 times. And there's, now you're Sheila. And what I want to say about Sheila, she has really been an important person for me. Because when you're doing a ministry, you need somebody. Pastor Dan has his beautiful wife. She's so sweet. And you need somebody to be there with you like a Barnabas. Sheila is an encourager to me. I always call her my armor bearer. Sheila teaches the children the scripture verse every week. So this is Shelby. Shelby wants to be a teacher when she grows up. And she's reading the verse for Sheila. So we will have the verse on a piece of paper. And the children, if they memorize it, they come back the next week, then they have to tell it to Sheila. And then lollipop. And I think of Sheila, and I think even though she can't see, she can see a lot more in the spiritual realm than what we could see. She senses a lot more of what God's doing in the children's lives. Some of the other activities that we do are life skills. So in the summer, we will do cooking, we will do baking. We teach the kids proper etiquette. We teach them about setting the table. And we will have either, we'll make muffin pizzas and then we'll make Rice Krispie treats. So we have teams, different teams. And you're some of the children setting the table. A lot of the children nowadays, I think, they don't sit at the dinner table anymore. They either sit in the living room or they eat whenever. And they don't have manners like they should. Please, thank you. So that's what we've been working with the children too, is more manners. But what I love about the life skills is it brings all the kids together. And they can sit down and they can talk with one another. It builds community. Okay, the next picture is Mousy the Clown. So every year in June, we have a Kids Fun Day. It's a special day to honor the children, to let them know that they're loved and cared about. Mousy has done past presentations, and last year we had the opportunity to have the AIM team come. Now, the AIM team is made up of 12 youth and adults, and they come and they share the gospel message, and they also give testimonies of their life. Last year we had over 200 people attend, so we have some of the kids laughing here. It got so big we had to have it outside. We couldn't fit it in that room. And we have 10 different games for the children. We have face painting, balloon animals, and then we have food and something for them to drink. We end the Kids Fun Day by having a drawing with all these different prizes for the children. On holidays, we do special events. So this is our Christmas one. That was a smaller Christmas time. We do it at Christmas. We do it at Thanksgiving. We do it at Easter. So the kids get to have special events throughout the year, and they just love doing. They love coming to that. So as you know, I live on the mission field, and the children are always coming to my house. So my house is right over there. It's a smaller townhome, and they're always knocking on the door. Either they want prayer, or they just want to hang out, they want to talk. A lot of them come because they're hungry too, though. Because the people who live there are low income. A lot of them, they pay their rent, pay their bills, and they don't have food. And what I think is so neat that God knew when I moved in that I would be able to reach out to these kids, because Cub Foods, they will donate like big pizzas, or I will buy food for the kids too. I will buy different types of food that they like. And I live right behind the playground. So I have a deck, a little deck in the back with a table. And I will tell the kids, I'm going to make this and I'll come get you when it's ready. And I open up the door and I say, okay, it's ready. And so they all run like little sheep. There isn't even enough room in my deck for them to sit. But what I think is so neat, just last summer, the maintenance moved a picnic table right behind my house. So see, God knew I needed more room for these children so that they would have something to eat. A lot of these children go on the playground in the summer, and they're there from there from morning till night. They don't even go home to eat. And they'll come to me, even in the winter, they'll come, I'm cold and I'm hungry. And I have a lot of healthy snacks that I'll feed them. And in the summer, they get lots to eat. And I think of the scripture first where Jesus says, feed my sheep. Okay, this is the baked goods ministry that I also do. Cub Foods donates baked goods Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And I get up at 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter if it's 30, 20 below, raining, I still go and do it. I get two or three cartloads. Sometimes I will have like 10 or more cartloads within 3 days. This helps to feed over 80 families. I bag up the baked goods, and I drive around, and I take them to the homes, and I put them in their door. Now, there are so many families that have been so thankful for this ministry, because a lot of them don't have money left towards the end of the month. And some of the families have told me, this is all we eat. So I'm really thankful for that. I also do a sauce ministry. My friend, I brought some for your church. She gets sauces from where she works. She gets cases and cases of them. So I bag up the different bags, and then the children help me. The children love to serve, and they love to help, and they will deliver them to the homes. I'm also a resource advisor for the families there, so if they need any advice, recommendation letters, reference letters. So another program that I started is called Adopt a Family. And you can do it even in your church. Maybe when you move to your new church, it would be something great. So you just find a family who's in need. And a friend of mine will make a meal, a full course meal, and she will take this to the family's home. Once a month, she will buy them gifts for Christmas. She will pray for them. And when there's other needs like this one family, even the basic needs a lot of these families don't have. They don't have shampoo, cream rinse, toothpaste, basic things that you would need, items. And so Adopt a Family is a great program where you can reach out to a family who's in need. Okay, the next one. So the children have grown in the last 8 years. We are seeing the children memorizing scripture verses, reading their Bibles, praying at home. Their parents are reading the Bibles to them. The parents are going to church. When we see the children, when they come and we're singing the worship songs, they're singing it with all of their heart. Children's relationships with God are growing much deeper. They're witnessing at school. Malia said the first day of school, she asked, who believes in Jesus? And her friend, she found out, believed in Jesus. And then she said, okay, if you believe in Jesus or you want to know Jesus, put your hand in the middle of the table. So all the kids put their hands in the middle of the table. And she prayed. Malia prayed for them. And then another little boy, we were talking about the Ten Commandments. His name is Swanee. And he said, some kids were taking God's name in vain, and I told them that wasn't nice. You're saying something bad about God when you take God's name and you say that. So the children are not only learning in Bible study, but they're taking it out to their school, their classmates, their neighbors. So many of the children are serving through school projects. This is Shelby and Jaslyn, and they were going around collecting food for the organization called Neighbors. So they went to 202 townhomes, and they collected all this food for school. This is Stephanie, Shelby, and Miranda. And every year we go to Presbyterian homes. It's an elderly home. And it's a Valentine social that they have. And the children will come, and they will help seat the adults. They will serve the desserts. They will clean up after. And they love to do this ministry. So I mean, there's so many other kids that keep asking, when can we go? When can we go? This is me, and I go every month. I go to a home called Prairie View, and it's an elderly home. And this is Heaven and Nevaeh, and they will come and they will help serve. We have soup, and I do a sermon, and we have desserts and stuff. So they help serve, they help clean up, and they help the elderly with crafts. The spiritual climate is changing in Rolling Meadows, and it has for years. And sin is being broken in the parents, the children, and the youth's lives. We're seeing freedom from alcohol, drugs, sexual abuse, outbursts of anger in the parents and in the children, and a lot of situations of poverty. Parents are now going back to school to educate themselves so that they can get a better job. We see more of a reverence for God, more of a holiness, and Sheila can sense a lot even when she comes over. She has told me before that she can sense a lot how the Spirit has changed. Many of the children have accepted Jesus into their heart, and many of the families now are attending church. So I'll go quickly because my time is coming. This is Terry. Now, Terry was a very big challenge in Bible study. He has six other siblings. The mother's divorced, and all the children in that family are very challenging. Terry was angry with adults. He would not take authority well. He was disrespectful to children, to his mom. Terry struggled with authority and listening to other people in authority. And there was a time where I couldn't let him come to Bible study because his behavior was so bad. But God got a hold of Terry's heart, and he transformed and changed Terry. Terry started going to youth group, and when I would see him at church, I would see him raising his hand, pouring out his heart to God. And God transformed his life, and God's hand is upon Terry's life, and I praise God for him. So the next one, this is Tajay. Now, he comes from another broken home where the mother said, Tajay does not like school, he does not like his teachers, but he loves coming to Bible study. So when we asked Tajay, we asked the class, who wants to serve God? Tajay's raising his hand. I want to serve God. Who loves Jesus? Tajay, I love Jesus. Then one day his mom said, after Easter celebration, Tajay wanted to pray. And he said, Mom, let's pray. And I want to thank God for sending Jesus on the cross and how Jesus rose again and he lives in my heart. So let's pray about that, Mom. And his mom said, now that he's doing really well in school, and he isn't so angry with the teachers anymore. The next one is Pony. She's very quiet and shy, but she's a great helper. Her family, the parents are Mormon. Pony has given her heart to the Lord, and she comes and she helps with the younger kids, and she helps hand out the snacks and everything. Okay, the next one is Shelby. Shelby loves to take care of all the younger kids. Shelby lives with her mom and her mom's boyfriend. She wants to be a teacher when she grows up. She's asked Jesus into her heart. She goes to church every Sunday, and she goes now to youth group on Wednesday night. She has a very sweet spirit and a sincere faith in God. So it's amazing to see what God's doing through the Bible study, and I think of lives changed, a community transformed. Children and youth are living now for God where they weren't before. 100% transformation, and I think of one degree at a time. You have to be very patient with children, especially ones that come from dysfunctional families. You have to just keep loving them. And God has helped us this far to reach out to our neighborhood. And Dan, I appreciate, and I want to thank you for giving me this time to share. It's been a blessing. In the back, I have a poster board, and I have some newsletters. If you would like to take a newsletter or sign up for a newsletter, I also have some pledge cards. please consider investing in this ministry if you're able to. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would prepare to give. Praise God. Jane, thanks so much. It's just such a joy to hear the stories and to hear for you just to find that place, that one place, and just to stay there and just to stay at it and the lives that are going to get to change. And it's just that, you know, that's what we love to see. Just when we stay with something and stay with a project or stay with people, and we can see that transformation a whole lot better than if we just sweep into town and do something and then sweep back out of town. And I just love that longevity and that rootedness that you have there. And we are so appreciative of that. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would come. If you're making out a check, please make it out to Heights Church, and we'll make sure that Pastor Jane gets the entirety of this offering. Again, after the service, after we have had communion and dismiss, if you want to give on the square, please do that as well. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for what you are doing in Inver Grove. Lord, for Jane to have that burden and to sense that call, to plant herself in a place where kids that are broken know that there is stability. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless her, that you would continue to move through her. Thanks so much for Sheila spending the time and going out there and making that connection for us as well. And Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity to give today. Lord, we want to invest in someone who is rooted in a community and committed to helping any way possible. Thank you for the love that she has for those families, the love that she has for those kids. Lord, bless what we give and extend it exponentially into her ministry, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to come to the Lord now at the table as we worship the Lord today. And as we come, we want to come with just a thankful heart of what God's doing in our lives, but also to understand that we come with needs. But as we come and worship to this table today, we come to meet the one who is able to meet those needs. So as we reflect and as we worship today, we want to remember and just we just ask that as we come to the table today, that our hearts would be prepared, our hearts would be ready in worship, that as we reflect, we are in the Lent season, as we reflect on moving toward Resurrection Sunday and the hope of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. So we worship today, and we remember on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant, my blood, which is given for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning, Brother Rick? Johnny, are you? Johnny, if you'd come and help. Praise the Lord. Brian, if you would help me. Praise the Lord.